We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
You know, I woke up thinking this morning, like, why do people come to River Church? You know, why didn't you guys choose to go somewhere else this morning? And, you know, if you're a guest here, if you're new, well, I understand maybe you came here by mistake. Maybe you realize after this morning that this is some place I will not be returning to. But for those of you that know what you're getting into when you come here, you know, there's a reason that you come here, you know, versus going anywhere else. And you didn't come here because we have a nice religious service for you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right? You didn't come here because it was going to be a short service, just enough time for you to turn your crock pot at home and be back in an hour to make sure nothing's burning, right? If you're going to do the crock pot, you got to put it on low, not on high when you come to our services, all right? You can get away with sticking it on high in some other places, all right? But if you're going to do the crock pot before coming to our church service, put it on low. It's going to be a while, all right? You know, so people, including myself, come here because we have something that many other places don't have, or if they have it, they don't tell you about it, or if they have it, they keep it in a back room, they keep it locked up for special times. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. What we have here that draws people to our church, if you come here more than once, more than twice, and you start coming here on a regular basis, I believe it's because you're drawn to do something big for God's kingdom. The only way that you're going to do something big for God's kingdom is to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's to be filled up with the Holy Ghost. Actually, before I go any further, I'm going to have my wife come up here, and I would love for you to just share with everybody how you first got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then what the effects of that experience was, and your ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit. So first tell them how you got filled with the Holy Spirit.
All right. Well, for me, it wasn't really like a complicated thing. I when I got saved, it was the first time that I had heard. I grew up Catholic, but when I got saved, it was because the first time I went to a Joyce Meyer conference and she was telling her testimony, and I just did a radical 180. So I was serving the devil with all my heart when I was unsaved, and you know, drinking, partying lifestyle like that, you know.
Did you actually have a deal with the devil, or you were just like living out in the world?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, what?
No, I didn't actually have a deal with the devil.
Okay.
We just wanted
to clarify, because you said you were serving the devil,
yeah.
So I didn't know if you were like, you know, doing witchcraft or...
A little bit of voodoo on the side.
I'm just teasing.
Yeah. So, no, I wasn't. I didn't have like a deal with him.
You were in the world. You were partying.
Yeah, and I didn't really know that there was anything else, that there was more. But so when I heard the gospel for the first time and I accepted Jesus into my heart, I did a 180. So, and that began the journey of like, I was just obsessed with getting in church, obsessed with the presence and the power of God, because in that moment when I got saved, it was as if 500 pounds was lifted off my chest. It was like something left me. And I was just like, I was all in on fire for serving the Lord. So a couple months later, an evangelist came to this church, and he was talking about how there's more than just being saved, that there's another level, that the Holy Spirit wants to come. He wants to touch you. He wants to touch your life, and he wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You can be baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I was like, well, all right. Let's do this thing. So I just right there, nobody prayed for me. No one laid hands on me. I just completely in that moment, just the Lord just did a work in me. And I accepted the Holy Spirit in my life. And I started speaking in tongues right there. And then I just every day after that at this revival meetings, I was coming and I was like getting filled with the Holy Spirit more and more. And
what's it feel like?
It's this holy presence that comes on the inside of you and lets you feel like you are enough. And it makes you empowered to, like, I started dreaming, like I started actually feeling like I wanted to do something with my life, that there was more than just existing. And those meetings, during one of the times that I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I knew that I was prophesied over, that I had a call of God on my life. And I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what that meant, what that looked like. But I was just so hungry and desperate for more of the Lord. But there was just specific encounters each time. I couldn't even explain to you what God was doing in me, but it was like he was doing something. I mean, there was different occasions where I knew that he was taking out, like, you know, just perverse talk, or just like a lust of the flesh, of something, of anything, of these desires of the world, things on the inside of me. And each time I would walk away and I would become a different person. I would become more like Jesus every time. And God would begin to speak to me about what he was wanting to do with my life.
Wow. And so when you went to Bible school, what happened there with your relationship with the Holy Spirit?
There I began to realize and grow up spiritually how God wanted to use me, what that meant to have a call of God on my life, how God wanted to use me in the ministry. You know, I kept going back and forth with, like, what does that really look like? But I just stayed so hungry and so desperate for another touch of the Lord to do the work inside of me so that I could help and be a blessing to other people.
Tell them how you pressed in your apartment.
Man, when I first got saved, even before I was in Bible school, though, I was so hungry. I would be in my bedroom, and I would just, for hours and hours, be crying out to the Lord, crying and praying and just reading my Bible, and God would speak to me. It would be like he would be revealing revelation to me through the Word, and speaking to me in ways that I'm like, man, I've read this like 50 times, but this one time when I read it, it just, like, it hit me so down deep in my spirit, and I knew that the Lord was specifically speaking to me in different areas of my life, and different things that he wanted me to walk away from, or different things that he wanted me to do. I began to develop that intimate personal relationship with Jesus where I could be in tune with the voice of the Holy Spirit and know specifically that he was speaking to me and what he was telling me to do with my life.
And do you think this was because you were better than other people?
Well, no. I think anybody can have this relationship. I think anybody can begin to develop and hear the voice of God and know specifically what that plan is. It might not be, it was never the plan that I expected. Man, I had no clue what I wanted to do with my life. In college, I would go back and forth between all these different majors. I was unsure. I didn't know where he wanted me. I just switched majors and classes so many times, and nothing felt like, you know, maybe for a little while I'd get excited about it, and I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm like all in with this. But then it wasn't until, like, I actually could hear the voice of God and knew specifically what he wanted me to do was when I had, like, satisfaction of knowing I'm in the perfect will for God for my life. And then I just began to develop and listen more to the Holy Spirit for specifically what he would want me to do.
And so for somebody here that maybe has never been filled with the Holy Spirit, or they were touched by the Holy Spirit years ago, but it's been a while, what would you tell them is, like, the number one thing that they need to do to get that touch from God and the Holy Spirit?
Man, you got to get hungry. It is just another level of hunger. It's just like as if you never wanted anything more in your entire life. You are just so desperate, so hungry. Anytime there's that free moment to just have to get into his presence, to allow God to do a deep work in you, I mean, you just get so desperate and so hungry for God. I am the only person on this planet. You have to come and touch me. I need your fire. I need your presence. I need you to come and touch me and do a work inside of me, because I can't do this on my own. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm called to. And you are just so desperate for the Lord to come and just speak to you and just do that work on the inside of you. And you will not leave until you get it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's awesome. Hallelujah. So in John chapter 16, you know, people wonder if I have Jesus, isn't that enough? Why do I got to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why do I need the Holy Spirit? I love Jesus. I love God. I'm a Christian. I try to be good. I try to help people. I try to tell people about God invite people to church. I'm doing my best. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Why do you Pentecostal people always put so much emphasis on being filled with the Holy Spirit? So in John chapter 16, in verse 5, Jesus speaking, he says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, you sorrow. Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you." So Jesus was telling his disciples that it's to their advantage that he goes away so that he could send us the Holy Spirit, so that he could send us the Holy Ghost to come and lead us and guide us into all truth, so that he could come and fill us, so that he could come and change us. This is for every believer, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, real quick, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Let's look at just verse 12 through 14 real quick. We'll read another part of this chapter in a second, but it says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and in supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." And then in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost comes, "They were all in one place. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit, and began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." They were all waiting in Jerusalem in this upper room. You know, we're in an upper room this morning, right? You all walked up the stairs to get up here, right? All right, see, upper room. So, the Holy Spirit came and filled all of these people in this upper room, about 120 people, including Mary, Jesus' mother, which means she's a Pentecostal, right? Mother Mary spoke in tongues, right? Amen. Right? See how that's a problem for some churches? She's a Pentecostal. Sweet Mother Mary would get kicked out of her own church in Orlando, Mary Mother of the Universe. It's a church that you drive by. If you go to Orlando on the I-4, can't miss it. This big church, Mary Mother of the Universe. If she showed up there speaking in tongues, they would kick her out. Anyway, here's the thing. Here's the thing. They were in this upper room, and what were they doing up there? What did it say in chapter 1, verse 13? "And when they entered in the upper room," or verse 14, "they all praying, they all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication." One accord means that they had one purpose. They were there for one reason. What was their one reason? To pray for what? What were they waiting for? They were there with one accord waiting for the Holy Spirit, and they were there just praying until he came. They didn't know what was going to happen, but we're going to sit here in this room, 120 of us, and we're going to pray until the Holy Spirit comes. That was their one purpose. Does it say anything about a choir? Does it say anything about smoke machines? Does it say anything about the light show? Does it say anything about this sweet ripping guitar solo? Right? Does it say anything about scones? Look, I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that churches do that are nice, and I'm not against, you know, smoke machines, lights, scones, all the stuff. I'm not against all of that, all right? You can have that on the side, but that is not the main dish. That is not the main portion of the service. They were there with one accord, not because that they heard this amazing band, you know? They were not there digging a well so that they could get people to be attracted to the gospel so that they could give them water so that they could then preach them. They were there because they were wanting the Holy Spirit. They were there because they were in one accord. They had one purpose. Jesus, you told us to go wait in Jerusalem until we become endued with power from on high to go out and be a witness for your kingdom. People want to, you know, I've been talking much about vision the last couple weeks and what God's purpose is for your life. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you will get vision. Because no matter what you do, no matter what society of life you're involved in, you will become a witness for God's kingdom. And I believe the ultimate purpose of every believer, of every Christian, not ministers, of every Christian, including ministers, but not just ministers, is to be a witness, is to be empowered from the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go to the Father. Like Jesus, think about Jesus to what it took for him to say that. You see, he was here on earth doing miracles, feeding thousands of people, walking on the water, stopping storms, doing what Jesus did. You know, everywhere he went, it was a Holy Ghost party. Crazy stuff was happening. These disciples, they're with him through all of this, and then he tells them, it's actually to your advantage that I go. Think about how stupid that sounds to those disciples. What do you mean, Jesus? You're the one here to restore the kingdom of Israel. You're the one here doing all these miracles. You're the one showing us the way to really live. This is awesome. Why would I want you to go? But he told them, it's to your advantage that I go so that you can have the same power in me that's causing all this stuff to happen everywhere I go. And then we, as the church, not just this church, but collectively, in many places, have watered down and washed out the move of the Holy Spirit in the service. To where we're coming to church service just to get, you know, a nice message, neatly packaged, inside of 26 minutes and 26 seconds, not a second over. You got your everything just timed perfectly. We're not going to talk about certain things to offend people. Jesus was so offensive in what he said. Almost everywhere he went, he was offending people. When you tell your whole church and your whole crowd of people that you should eat my flesh and drink my blood, people are going to look at you weird. And it's going to be like, whoa, look, Jesus, you're cool. I like the miracles. That fish and bread sandwich you made me was awesome. But look, this here is now too far. Jesus, it's too far. You've gone off the deep end. And after he said that to them, many people left him because they couldn't handle it. Jesus was offensive. So why, as a minister, should I be worried about offending people? I have one purpose, to see every single person that comes to River Church filled with the Holy Ghost, empowered with the Holy Spirit, and then receive a divine plan from heaven for what you're to do in life and how that will cause you to become a greater witness for God's kingdom. Amen. I think you being radically blessed makes you a greater witness. I think you being in divine health and walking in divine health makes you a greater witness. I think you being full of peace makes you a greater witness. I think you being full of joy makes you a greater witness. I think you having a smile on your face makes you a greater witness. Now, why is it that people go to church sad and they leave sadder? It shouldn't be that way. They go to church and they just leave like mopey and depressed and like, man, that was so terrible. The only thing they're thankful about on Sunday is that church is over. That now I get to go home and check the crock pot, right? That's what people are excited about on Sunday. Thank God that's done. Fulfilled my religious duty for the week. Now I can go on home and have some fun in life and watch the Bills lose and whatever else you like to do on Sunday. You know, that's what most Christians live for. They don't want to be in church. They just go there because they're supposed to be. And that's what they think. They think that they're supposed to be in church. It relieves their conscience for the religious duty that they need to do. But do you think that's what Jesus intended when he went to the cross and died for us? And when he sent on the day of Pentecost the Holy Spirit, he only wanted those 120 people to experience it and nobody else? Absolutely not. The day of Pentecost happened for you and for me so that we can come to church, we can get endued with power, filled up and energized with the Holy Ghost, have him sort out our business. You know, he'll clean you up on the inside. Here, let me read one thing as I'm thinking of it. Switch over to Acts chapter 3 and look at verse 19. I really like this scripture. Verse 19, it says, repent therefore and, say and. All right, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You see, you need to get in the presence of the Lord to have some refreshing. Amen? But I love in the beginning of that verse where it says, repent and be converted. I think there's a lot of Christians today that have repented but have not really been converted. What I mean is that they're sorry for what they did, but they didn't actually change their ways. They're sorry that they screwed up, and Lord, please forgive me, but then they never actually changed. Being a Christian isn't just about screwing up, saying sorry, and then living a life of screwing up and saying sorry. It's about repenting, being converted, so that your lifestyle actually looks like a Christian. So that you don't have to keep living a life of misery and defeat. There should be a point where your lifestyle just reflects what a Christian is. Amen? And you're not supposed to do it on your own. That's why the Holy Spirit, he's called the Paraclete, which means the helper, the one called alongside to help. He's the one that leads you and guides you into all truth. He's the one that shows you the way. So that means my job as a minister is to get people here filled up with the Holy Ghost. And look, if we can't come together as a group of Christians, especially Pentecostal Christians, and have a move of the Holy Spirit without needing all of the extra stuff, then I think we're screwing up somewhere. You know, because those Pentecostals in that upper room, they didn't have all the fancy stuff. They didn't have somebody on the B3 organ jamming away. They didn't have a sound system with a microphone. They were all just there hungry for what God was going to give them. Jesus is going to send us the Holy Spirit. Let's pray until he comes. Man, what if that was actually what the church was doing today? We were praying until we got so filled up with the Holy Spirit that we then just got so bold and energized that we just had to go out and tell everybody about Jesus. Because that's what happened. They got filled up on the day of Pentecost and go out and they preach. Peter preaches, and 3,000 people got saved. Look, Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, and this is talking from Joel chapter 2. Peter said this, he's preaching from Joel 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's God's plan, is to pour it out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And my men servants, and on my men servants, and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. God's plan is that He is to pour out His spirit on all of us here today. Look at verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit fell, day of Pentecost, 120 people in that upper room about, right? What's the next thing that they do? They go out on the streets and preach to roughly a crowd of at least 3,000, because it says 3,000 people were added to them that day. So there had to be at least 3,000 people there, probably more that didn't want to get added that day. All right, so they're preaching to a few thousand people, I would assume. And after he preaches to them, he tells them to repent for your sins, for the remission of your sins, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who was he talking to when he said that? 3,000 some people, right? At least. He was talking to thousands of people. He wasn't saying like, look, we just, us special chosen apostles that have been with Jesus since the beginning of his ministry, we received the Holy Spirit, and we want you to know that it's awesome. Unfortunately, you were not chosen to have it. Sorry. Not available to you. But let me tell you, you guys are missing out because it's awesome. That's not what happened. The very first thing they did is they took what they got and then brought it out on the street to give it away. To say, look, we just got the Holy Spirit. Now we want you guys to have the Holy Spirit. Everywhere they went and they preached, they found people that if they didn't have the Holy Spirit, they said, well, you need the Holy Spirit. Right? Look at Acts chapter 19. Why do we make such a big deal about the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was in Corinth, having passed through the upper regions, that he came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." You hear that? There's believers out there that don't know there's a Holy Spirit. There is believers that don't have the Holy Spirit. I thought that when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit, right? That when you get the Holy, that when you get saved, when you become born again, when you accept Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit, and that's it, no more, right? You get saved, your spirit filled. That's what a lot of people will tell you. Then why is it in the Bible that that wasn't so? Why is it that in the Bible there were believers that didn't know a thing about the Holy Spirit? And did they leave these poor, wretched souls in this condition? You're just meant to just carry on without the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes back? No. And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said to him, "In John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ," or on Christ Jesus. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." So whether you're preaching to a crowd of 12, or whether you're preaching to a crowd of several thousand, you see, it made no difference. We're going to preach, we're going to tell people about Jesus, we're going to get people baptized, and we're going to get them filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can't imagine that back then they had like, this huge just entertainment show. Look, again, I said it earlier, I'm not opposed to that as long as you're able to then get people filled with the Holy Spirit. If people want to come to church because you got great lights and because they like smoke, great. Get as many lights as smoke machines as you can get to get as many people there, right? But make sure that you're getting those people filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Make sure that you're getting them saved, repenting for the remissions of sin, get them baptized, and get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Because that's what changes people. Yeah. You heard my wife. I mean, she got saved. She got fell in love with Jesus, and she went to church. She started changing her ways. But when she got filled with the Holy Ghost is when she said, that's when I realized that God had a purpose for my life. That's when I realized that God could actually use me. You know, she fell in love with Jesus. She was changing her ways. She's praying. She's going to church. But it wasn't till she got filled with the Holy Spirit that then she was like, oh, God can even use me. God can use me in the ministry. You know, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what will happen to you. Oh, God can use me. Because that's what is Acts chapter 1. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He didn't say that you will be called into the fivefold ministry, did he? He didn't say you will be prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, right? He said you will be witnesses to me, for me. So the goal is that the believers come, we get filled, we get empowered, and then we become a witness. And I think that really, as a whole, our church, you see, our goal here as the church, our vision is to have massive impact in this region. You know, I mean, for me starting out, that means like Orleans County, Monroe County. You know, because that's pretty much where we are. Maybe Genesee, if they're lucky. But, look, all right, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, I'm saying, like, the area that we're in, like, you see, first he said that you'll be a witness for me in Jerusalem, which is where they were, right? They were in Jerusalem. So the area that they were in, they're to be a witness. And then it will spread from there to Judea, which is their country. And then Samaria, you know, I don't even think that they were really listening when he said Samaria, because the Jews didn't like Samaritans because they were half-breed Jews. They were Jews that had intermingled with other cultures, and now they didn't even really consider them Jews or part of that. And he told them right there, you're going to be witnesses to Samaria and to the end of the earth. You know, to the end of the earth means not just Jews. And yet for a long time, they were convinced that they were only going to be ministering to Jews. Anyway. But so first, be a witness in the area that you are, and then it'll expand. So I believe that as the church here, we get so filled up with the Holy Ghost and radical and on fire for the things of God and see the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our church and also out on the street, that we will begin to impact our area and that it will begin to spread and that we will see a move of God where we're just impacting people's lives. And it will spread because people want real. They want something powerful. They don't want fake. They don't want religion. They don't want bogus, right? That's why you guys are here, right? You could have gone to any other church this morning, but you're here because we don't joke around. We take this very seriously because we believe in what we preach, because we've encountered the presence of Jesus. And when you encounter the presence of Jesus, the very first thing that you want to do is you want to get other people to encounter the presence of Jesus. Yeah, right. And it might happen for you suddenly. Suddenly, like a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit blew into the room. Suddenly, all those people that had been gathered there in that upper room, they were praying, and suddenly they all got filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul was traveling on the road to Damascus, and suddenly a bright light shone round about him. And he fell to the ground. And then he goes into Damascus, and he didn't start preaching until the Lord spoke to Ananias, and Ananias was sent to him to pray for him that he would receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul then, at that time Saul, gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he starts preaching. He starts preaching in Damascus. You got to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Whether you've been filled before, whether you've never been filled, whether you've been filled 100 times, you got to stay getting filled. Amen? Be ye being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which means we have to be hungry for the things of God. Just like Julie was saying, how do you get it? You have to get hungry. God, I want you to come move in my life. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 14, Philip had gone to Samaria, and he's preaching there, and many people had miracles, were having devils cast out, were being baptized. And then in verse 14, it says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them." For what? "Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." You can be a Christian, love Jesus with all your heart, come to this church every Sunday from now until Jesus comes back. You can pray 7 times a day, 7 days a week, and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. But why wouldn't you want that? The biblical pattern was that every time they found people that believed or didn't believe, they would get them to be believers as to the best of their ability, and then they would get them filled with the Holy Spirit. And when that, it's in verse 17, "Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." That's what they did. These guys were like obsessed with this Holy Spirit. They were like, we got to get everybody filled with the Holy Spirit. It's so good for me, why would I want to keep it to myself? You know, Pastor Rodney, our pastor in Tampa, he shares this story about how when he was a kid, he stuck his finger in this electric socket, and how that impacted his life. And for me, ironically, I have a similar story. When I was in 9th grade, I was in earth science class, first day of high school. And our teacher, he was going over the class rules, and he said, "Now nobody stick anything into the electric outlets." And for some reason for me, that thought became this overwhelming burden in my mind. What would happen if I stick something into that electric outlet? And my friend, I thought he was my friend, he says, "I bet you $10 that you won't stick this paperclip into that outlet." And I said, "We have a deal." So it was earth science. It was a lab, so you had a break. You had one class, and then you had a break, and then you had your next class. So in the break between classes, everybody else went out into the hall except for me and my buddy, and I took this paper clip, and I unfold the one end, and I stick it into the outlet. Nothing happens. And I'm like, "All right, I did it. Nothing happened. Give me my $10. And he goes, "No, you got to put both ends into the outlet." And so I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I unfold the rest of the paperclip, and I stick both ends in, and as I'm about to say nothing's happening, an explosion happened. Boom, it sent sparks throughout like the whole room. And my finger, like I remember my heart was racing a mile a minute. Do, 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 do. And I'm sweating, and I just felt electricity all through my body. And I looked down at my finger. And those of you in the front, you should be able to see a little white line across the front of my finger. I look down and my finger and my thumb, I don't know why my thumb didn't scar. It was just as bad as my index finger. But my index finger has this white line from where that paperclip burned my flesh almost to the bone. That paperclip turned so red hot and exploded, it totally disintegrated. And I walk over to the teacher, my heart beating so fast. The teacher watched the whole thing, amazingly enough. I don't know how he let me do that, but he did. And I walk up to him, and I was like, "Can I go to the nurse's office?" And he was like, "Yeah, but don't tell him what you did." I walk down to the nurse's office, sweating, heart beating so fast. I get down to the nurse's office, and like, I show them my hand and I'm like, "Can I have a Band-Aid?" And they're like, "Well, let me look at that." And they're like, "What happened?" I was like, I didn't know what to say. I was panicking. I said, "I got hurt in gym class." And then I passed out. I fell right down onto the floor, woke up on a cold floor in a cold sweat. And they're like, your mother's on her way to school, she's going to come get you. My mom thought it was a demonic attack that was trying to get me to commit suicide, and she's like praying for me. She's like, "Why would you do this?" You know, like in her sweet German accent, and you know, she thought I was trying to off myself, but I wasn't. I was trying to get 10 bucks, and here was the thing. The thing was, like, I grew up going to my aunt and uncle's house who had horses, and my brothers and I, we'd go up to the horse fence, and we'd grab onto the horse fence, and we'd see who could hold on the longest, you know. You just get, like, these little volts that come through, and they zap you every now and then, but it's nothing too serious. I didn't understand what amperage was. Volts are fine. Amperage is what causes problems. And when you stick your paperclip into an electric outlet, you're not just electric outlet, you're getting the amperage. So I got so messed up. But from that day, I became a convert to the belief that when you stick something in that outlet, your life will be forever changed. You will never be the same again. When you take that paperclip and when you stuff that into that outlet, you will be marked. And I have the evidence right here on my fingertip that you will be marked for the rest of your life and your life will never be the same again. My life was forever changed by the doctrine of the paperclip in the outlet. And you see, now if I ever see anybody or hear anybody talking about, not that this has ever happened, but if it did, if I ever saw somebody going to put a paperclip in the outlet, I would tackle them. I would do whatever I could to get them not to do it because I know what's going to happen. I understand that when you do that, something very powerful will come over you. Now, in the same sense, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, my life was marked. It was changed. I was never the same again. And in the opposite sense of the electricity, I knew how good it felt to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I knew that this is the best thing that I've ever had. That this is the best thing that I've ever experienced. The presence of God, it just feels so good. And I want to tell everybody about it. And I want everybody to feel this. And I want everybody to actually know that Jesus isn't just a story. That Jesus just isn't a religious idea. That Jesus just isn't just a figment of your imagination. He isn't just a story that you were told about to have good morals. That he wasn't just like something to keep you, you know, entertained and off the streets from doing bad things. No, that he has real power. That he can come and totally charge your life. Just like that electricity came into my body and charged me up. Man, my heart was beating so fast. I was sweating. I was not able to control the reaction of my body. When the Holy Ghost comes and he fills you up, sometimes it feels like a little bit of electricity. You get so full and you can't control the reaction of your body. You got to get to that point of where you're willing to do anything to get it. You got to get to that point of where you don't think anymore about what other people are thinking about you. Well, what'll they think if I just really start pressing? And what'll they think if I start crying and laughing and maybe fall on the floor? What'll they think? And those are the things that'll come to try and stop you. You know, Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his whole house, and as he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell. As he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell and filled everyone in that house. And when they got filled, they began speaking in tongues. This is not something that we just do on the side. This is not something that we just do for fun. And this is not something that we do to just keep church interesting and to keep it exciting. This is what we do because this is who we are. We're Spirit-filled Christians, and I believe that's why you're here today. Whether you know it or not, I believe you're drawn here because God has a big plan for you. And He wants you to get radically touched, just like my wife was sharing. He wants you to get filled up. He wants you to experience His presence. Heavenly Father, I thank You for every hungry heart here this morning. I thank You that Your power is manifest in this room. I thank You that we come to Your throne boldly, that we hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we will be filled this morning. I thank You that Your anointing and Your power is here to touch and change lives, to empower every believer here today. I thank You for anyone that has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that if they want it here today, God, that You give it to them today. I thank You, Lord, that Your anointing is in this place. And I thank You that as we cry out for it from our heart, as we get desperate, as we get hungry for You, that You draw near to us, that You fill us, that we will impact this region, that people from far and wide will hear about the mighty and the wonderful things that God is doing in this church. I thank You that You've called us to be the light in the darkness, the salt of the earth. I thank You that we'll make a difference everywhere we go. Jesus, I ask that You right now, that You move in the heart of every believer in this room, that You fill them, that You fill their cup to overflowing, that You fill them full. Jesus, I thank You that it's Your anointing that comes and destroys bondage and sets us free and fills us with joy and refreshes us. I thank You that in Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I thank You that there are times of refreshing in Your presence. Jesus, I ask that You come right now and refresh every single person in this room. Every single person that needs to be refreshed. Every single person that needs to be filled.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.